Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
In this episode,
I win the Planet FPL Derby.
Here we fucking go.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello listeners, welcome to episode 22 of Planet Hashtag FPL, the world where everything revolves around Fantasy Premier League. My name is Serge.
What season is it, Serge?
Season 2.
My name's James.
It's the 2018-19 season, if you must know.
And it is Tuesday at about half past five-ish UK time.
Whenever I tell the time, you always say, why the fuck are you saying the time is?
No, it's relevant, isn't it? Because by the time the pod comes out, the Champions League games be going on, something might be out of date, so we should probably time it.
United are playing today against Juve.
Yeah.
Juventus.
Nice new article on the website from Is My Cat Playing, which by the time you hear this will be fucking irrelevant.
Well,
but have a read anyway. It's about United and Juventus and their games in the late 90s, which is interesting.
We're coming off the back of game week 9, so we're now, as of this week, coming in into double figures. We're more than a quarter of the way through the season. It's a bit of a funny one this season, slowly ticking along. A very bizarre game week this week. You could probably throw a hula hoop ring around the scores. I think everybody was within a small window of maybe 35 to 55 points.
Except me.
Yeah, you did all right. There's a few people that did a little bit better. So all in all, tell us how you did.
57 points.
Game week rank?
Game week rank for 660K, basically.
Oh, so even then there was like 600 people higher than 57 points.
Yeah.
I find that surprising.
Well, the dead team will come on to in a bit. Got a lot more. So look, I'm really pleased with that after the disastrous odd 29 from the week before. Captain hit Aguero, goal for Salah, David Silva with a couple of returns, clean sheet for Robertson, got my goalkeeper right, Begovic, nice 9 points, was a tidy little unexpected number there. So worked out okay. And I went for those who sort of missed it on Twitter, I sold Walcott and Luke Shaw and bought Lascelles and Richarlison, which didn't overly work out this weekend, but actually on the transfers to what I would have had in my team, it was worth an extra few points to me, and I feel better about it, even though Lascelles didn't score and they didn't keep a clean sheet. We'll come on to it.
Yes, but so the McDonald's is safe in McDonald's as it stands at the moment. I'm not buying James lunch yet. So not bad, and overall rank up to now.
So dropped 500K the previous week. I've gone up 300K this week, so I'm back up to 645.
Okay, not too bad. Ready for an assault up until Christmas.
Yeah, momentum's back in now.
Indeed. I managed to clock 44 points this week, which is a massive one above the game week average. So not really what I'd consider a great game week, but it's going to be very, very rare that I get a game week where Patricio, Alonso, Hazard, Arnautovic all pick me up a one-pointer each.
There were a lot of big player one-pointers this weekend.
Tell me about it.
A lot.
Johnny obviously going off at half-time was a zero for me. Mane dropping to the bench, didn't even get any minutes. So Ben Dinnery's thumb injury, not keeping players out, prediction didn't come into
play. I'm not having you be critical of Ben, mate.
No, I'm not being critical, but obviously Mane didn't play, so he dropped to the bench and Johnny came on and got me zero. So anybody that listening who was saying that I'm mental about dropping
leaving out Johnny, yeah.
Johnny, Wolves did Watford did score and he bought me 0 points. But on the flip side, like you, I captained Aguero, so that was a nice, tidy 12 points. Clean sheets for Trips and Robertson. Schürrle scored, which was nice, and Mitrovic picked up an assist. But that was it for me for the week.
Yeah, it could have been worse, mate.
Yeah, I ended up with a green arrow, all in all. So I went from 337k to 321k. It's a miserly 15k
that's unusual
rise,
to have a good rank like you. And
still rise.
Sort of hit bang on the average. Because I think the overalls this week were very rarely does this happen, but the overall average was higher than the top 1,000's average.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's very rare that that happens. I think the top 1,000 average was about 40 or 41.
Wow, that's really
very
rare.
Unusual.
Yeah, I mean, we did talk about it because I was talking about a couple of the leagues that I'm in. One of the leagues that I'm in that's a cash league. And other than the guy that's top who ended up with 49 points, 34, 36, 34, 39, 33. And these are all like seasoned players that play a lot. So really surprising. And do you know what really was a bit of a kick in the balls this game week for a lot of people? You're looking at your rank at the end of Saturday thinking, all right, you know what? I think the average on Saturday was around 32. And you're thinking, okay, I'm doing okay. And then you're looking at Sunday.
And it's getting worse.
It's getting a little bit worse. You think, all right. Then you watch the Arsenal-Leicester game and it's a little bit worse. You're thinking, oh, okay. And then the fucking automatic transfers come in and it skyrockets and then you're like, oh, shit.
There were loads who had people like in our first two subs in our dead team. We got one of the two, but Cedric and Dunk, 9 and 8, sitting in subs one and two on the bench. So plenty of
this
scenarios
game week
like that.
Was one of those where, and that's the thing with Monday night games, right? You don't really know until you know because of the automatic subs not coming into play. But it was a bit, I thought I might be a little bit, I might do better than I did this week. But look, coming off a green arrow and being above the average, I'll take it. When so many big players blanked, like your Alonso's and Hazard's and so on. So interesting game week. We've got another Monday night game next week. Something to do with, is it because of the NFL?
Oh, yeah, God knows what sort of state the pitch is going to be in, by the way, because I think the game's on Sunday. So could be all sorts of designs and patterns in that pitch at Wembley. I mean, the fact if the pitch is cut up to fuck is probably going to be actually unusually probably more beneficial to us than City with the way they want to play and keep the ball.
Yeah.
So yeah, something to be cautious of there.
So we put out the regular tweet week in, week out, asking for questions for the show, and we've got plenty this week. So we're recording twice, as we always do. We'll have a preview show for Game Week 10 in a couple of days' time, so stay tuned for that. But we're going to make an effort to get through as many questions as we can in this, because there's quite a few interesting talking points that have come up from this game week. Quite a lot of the questions asking around similar themes. Richarlison seems to be a little bit of a talking point. Martial, everyone's having a secret kind of love affair with Martial at the moment. Obviously, Arsenal winning again and scoring 3 goals has come up in a few talking points. Spurs, people seem to be wanting to jump off that ship. There are a couple of questions about West Ham as well, strangely. Not very good ones. we'll get to them. But
I haven't dug you out yet.
Nah, not yet. It's coming, don't worry. And a few other things that people are kind of asking questions around, like Mendy bit, is he a must-have right now, and so on and so on. So we're going to get through as many Twitter questions as we can, which means we're going to be as quick as we can rattling through the weekend games. And there's only one place to start. I know we normally start going in order of the fixtures and alphabetically, but
West Ham, you want to get it over and done with.
It's not even that I want to get it over and done with. You need to get it off your chest. West Ham 0, Spurs 1. The Planet FPL derby was nicked by Spurs.
Keep going.
So you were there.
Keep going.
Enjoyed it?
Keep going.
Enjoyed it?
Keep going.
Enjoyed it?
Of course I enjoyed it.
Go on then.
No, keep going. I wouldn't, before I start blowing trumpets, I want you to give me your honest opinion of the game, mate.
My honest opinion of the game. Well, I didn't think it was a very good game of football.
No, that we will agree on.
It was very tense. I think from a West Ham point of view, I'm not sure why. Prior to the game, every Spurs fan that I know that I spoke to was a bit nervous about this. And every West Ham fan I spoke to was a bit nervous about this game. Maybe because we thought we might have a chance of getting something out of it. But I didn't think it was a very good game of football. I think Spurs without Eriksen and Ali, I didn't think Lucas Moura or Lamella can fill those boots at all. So Harry Kane didn't get much service at all. So second half, you didn't threaten much at all. First half, you were a bit better because you were attacking the end that I was sitting at in the first half, vice versa in the second half. I mean, Davinson Sanchez needs to fucking take a look in the mirror and sort himself out because he's a liability.
Why?
He's going to get more red cards. He's going to pick up a couple of red cards this season for sure. But overall, yeah, and I think second half we came into it better. I think West Ham, better team in the second half, had more chances. Lucky Lloris didn't fucking go down the pub before the game and kept Arnie out of it. Nice to see some fight from Arnie. I like it when he's charging around the pitch. But disappointing, you see, I think you were there for the taking and we didn't do it. We were very slow on the ball in the first half. Second half, we were better, but there for the taking. And I think there's a couple of things that would have made, like, you saw Anderson play firsthand. It's like playing fucking 10 players on the pitch. He was awful. I think that's the worst I've seen him play. So what do? He came off, was replaced by Antonio, who was fucking worse. You saw some of the crosses. So literally, yeah, Anderson was very, very ineffective and they had poor games. So yeah, all in all, disappointing, really.
That it?
Yeah, that's it.
Nothing you want to throw in about the ref or?
Well, I'm not really I looked at the stats after the game. Do you know how many fouls Spurs committed?
Not a clue.
10. Do you know how many West Ham committed?
More.
8.
So what's the big deal?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Do you remember last season I had a rant about Stoke being a dirty team?
Oh, I do remember this.
Do you know how many fouls they committed in a single game?
It was about 30.
26 or something?
Yeah, something so silly.
Fine. Look, if you want to moan about the ref and decisions going your way or not, do I think that the big teams get away with more than the smaller teams? Yes. Do I think it was at the extent that I'm not really one for moaning too much about the refs? So
All I saw on Twitter after the game was every other comment I saw from a West Ham fan was moaning about the ref.
Well,
that's all I saw.
Let them, but...
Did I miss something?
There were plenty of decisions that were 50-50s that could have gone either way.
Oh, I tell you what I missed. It was Snodgrass should have got sent off for a tackle on Moura. That was the talking point. Yeah. No, I'm with you. No matter the circumstance, I do not want to come on this podcast and be moaning about a ref. I hate going home with that feeling of, it's the ref's fault, it's the ref's fault. It's the easiest thing to say. And don't get me wrong, there are times, and I do agree that the bigger clubs, and we are a bigger club than you, we'll get the benefit of decisions more often than not. But I don't think there was anything other than the Arnautovic Sanchez incident was bizarre because we ended up taking a goal kick from that.
Yeah,
that was really fucking weird.
And Davinson Sanchez raised his hand, so I don't know why that's not a red card.
So you didn't see Arnautovic put his head into his stomach?
He was giving him a lick.
A lick? That's not the kind of lick that I grew up with, mate.
Why that was a goal kick, we were really fucking confused about that. I have no idea.
I didn't have a clue. I was obviously like about 500 yards from the incident and I had no idea why.
Yeah.
I want to talk about you a lot briefly because as I said on Sunday, there are plenty of assets to be looking at now in West Ham for a number of reasons. The goalkeeper is a clear and obvious choice that you should be considering, Fabianski. He will continue to do the sort of bits that you want of a 4.5 million goalkeeper. Defensively, I think Diop is worth looking at now at 4.3 million. He looks like a solid centre-half to me.
Oh, he was our best player. The number of interceptions he made, right place at the right time. We had a question about Diop in the Twitter questions. And you're making... Do you think the entire defence can keep a clean sheet? Because it's all well and good having one defender who's playing out of his skin. If elsewhere you're making mistakes and leaking goals, he's not going to get any clean sheet points.
We'd said a couple of weeks ago, like, you could go sort of Fabianski and Doherty, but you wouldn't want to go Patricio and someone from West Ham. And I still sort of feel that way, but it is a good run of fixtures. And 4.3 is dirt fucking cheap for your best defender. as far as I can see it.
Sure, but then if you're looking at it from an FPL points point of view, I'd say Balbuena has much more of a threat at set pieces going forward than Diop does at the back. Diop hasn't really had much attacking kind of threat. So no, I would go Balbuena personally,
He might be more the BPS magnet potentially as well, Diop, I would say. Yarmolenko's season is over.
Mm.
It's estimated at a 6-month injury, and it's a terrible and bad injury. Don't wish that on anybody. It opens some doors potentially for a few people. The first person I want to mention is Anderson, which you'd already partly touched on. I felt like every time I'd watched him this season, he looked like a terrific player to me. He looked out of his fucking depth at the weekend.
It was pony.
I don't know what that was all about. He was toilet. He's set piece taking. He's dribbling. He was just off.
Couldn't beat the first man. He couldn't control the ball. Couldn't pass the ball. It was toilet. It was one of those where nothing went right.
He just had a shock up. Look, his place in the team is safe, but obviously Yarmolenko's injury.
For now.
Yeah, of course. Yarmolenko's injury opens up some doors, and there's some interesting prices in here. So Snodgrass, I wouldn't really go near, to be honest.
No, not at 5.3.
Antonio has spells, but I think 6.8 million is
crazy
too expensive. Would you agree with that?
Crazy money. He doesn't have spells. Since he had his injury last season, he's not come back to anything like the player that he was.
But when he came on for Anderson, they put him on the left. I was worried about the cross from the right and him getting over the top.
He hasn't got any end product.
He's great in the air, though, isn't he?
It's not bad.
Many of his goals over the years have been aerially. The one I'm really keen to keep an eye on is the youngster, mate. Yangana,
who
looks a top talent, doesn't he?
I think you're mad. If you're thinking about it from an FPL point of view, and again, there's questions on Twitter saying, now, is he a nailed starter? Well, firstly, the start of the season, he was in the squad, and he scored 2 goals against Macclesfield, bottom of the league. I think Snoddy will be playing in the team ahead of Yangana. So I don't think he's going to get minutes, and I think he's going to suffer from that impetuousness of youth and be just running around the pitch a little bit too much and not have enough end product. I don't think he's worth considering for FPL at all.
Do you not rate him as a talent?
He's a talent, but I don't think he's worth an FPL punt at all.
But if he's going to play regularly in an attacking position, he's a 4.5 million midfielder.
I don't think he's going to play regularly.
All right.
And I think he's going to be very hit and miss.
I certainly wouldn't go in now, but I think that's one to watch, mate, and I think you need to. You've got a great run of fixtures.
We do.
Which we'll highlight, which starts with Leicester at the weekend. Now, in between now and game week 22 at home to Arsenal, there's a home game against Man City in game week 13. Other than that, according to the FDR, all but 2 games are rated at 2.
Mm.
It's a monster run of fixtures, mate. Inconsistencies with West Ham would concern me, but one person really shone out again at the weekend, and it's the bloke up front, mate.
He's a beast. Wrap up your thoughts on Spurs, because we don't want to spend fucking 20 minutes talking about this game. We've got plenty others to talk about.
I know people want my thoughts on the stadium.
Oh, give it to them then.
It wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. I like a high perspective at a football game, and row 63 up a tier gave me that.
I sit row 61.
Tactically, it was actually a great view of the game. I would prefer that than sitting row 1 right behind the goal. It's just a personal for me, because I like to see the game and understand what's going on. It wasn't as bad as what I thought it was. That said, it's a problem, mate, the stadium, in terms of its temporary structures, and it's... I can't quite describe how silly the lower tiers look in terms of all the seating that's behind it and stuff.
What do you mean?
Well, you can see and...
Oh, you're talking about the mezzanine levels?
You can see all the seating from the athletic seating behind the current seating. Can you not see that? Where you sit, you might not be able to see it.
Where I sit, you can't.
It's mad, mate. You can see it's all black seating in the background.
Yeah, I know where you're talking about, because I did sit where you've sat before, but, you know.
Sold your soul for that shithole. Best thing you do, mate.
I heard today you're not moving in this season.
Yeah, probably, mate, but at some point we'll get home, mate. No one's selling our soul at our place. At some point, the best thing you could do is pull your finger out your pocket and buy the fucking thing.
Well, we're waiting until the company that own it go bust, and then it's ours. We shall see. Let's move on, because I'm very conscious with you and me that it could become the Spurs West Ham.
Just one more question. Go on. What sort of prick lets off a smoke bomb for this lad goal?
I don't know. You have to fucking go on Twitter.
Was that one of your lot? Was it?
I have no idea.
Claret and blue smoke I saw there, mate. Right, Spurs. Seriously, got away with it again. Would have shaded the first half, in my opinion, in terms of possession. I think you were right what you said in terms of we were there for the taking. West Ham never played with the intensity that I thought you would come at us.
We
right
didn't
from
pass
the
ball quick enough.
Nah.
It's that extra half a second that you think about making a pass rather than just making it.
At the moment, we're grinding out wins. We've won 7 out of 9, which I think it's only the 83rd team who's done that in the last 120 years, and yet we're fifth in the league. Seems to make no sense. But I'm delighted with the start. We're not playing well at all. Do not be investing in Spurs. Spurs sounds obviously even more obvious playing Man City next week.
Mm.
We're just struggling along. I'd be looking to get away from defensively, attacking, everything. The one that'll obviously get attention is Lamella. You've already said you don't think an option. In my opinion, he was the best player on the pitch because he was the only creative force in our side at the weekend and came up with the important goal. And he's starting to get attacking returns. But even at that price range, at 6.4 in a side near the top of the table, I think there's better options.
I think there's two ways you can skin Spurs at the moment. You can either say, playing like that, you're not going to get top four, which I don't think you will. Or you can say, well, without key players, we still ground out results. So when they come back, we'll be all right.
Yeah.
You can argue it both ways, but I think we'll have to... I mean, 7 wins out of 9, mate.
Putting Ericsson and Ali, as I said previously, gives us two weapons we currently don't have without them. It's one is creativity and two is movement.
Mm.
And we'll be a different side with them back in it. But it's a difficult fixture run, and I only see up until sort of mid-December us sort of...
grinding them out.
A little bit, yeah. And I don't think you should panic. Like, if you've got trips and stuff, like, don't shit yourself. But then I think you've got a massive choice. You've got trips, haven't you?
I have.
Do you play him next week?
I might even sub him for Mendy.
But then we always say, like, all these guys, Trips, Mendy, Alonso, Robertson, you can't
returns.
Leave them out, right?
Yeah, Trips did all right the weekend. I don't think he was too bad.
I thought he was probably our poorest player, actually.
I
disagree with you. I thought Antonio gave him some problems when he came on.
I suppose you're looking at it from a very different perspective. I thought Antonio was our shittest player.
I'm not saying Antonio was good. I'm saying Antonio gave me problems, and it was a concern for me at the back post. A couple of times Trippier got too tight to him, and he just spun him, mate. He's a brute, Antonio.
He did. And he has got pace. He just doesn't know what to do once he gets into the final third.
No, he's technically not the best, let's be honest.
Chelsea 2, Manchester United 2. Do you have the predictions that we made last
No one gave a shit, mate. The feedback on the predictions was it was fucking crap. Don't do that again.
All right, we're going to predict them next week.
So we won't. But you predicted a draw.
I predicted a draw. I predicted a fucking draw. I didn't predict a 2-2 draw. I thought Marino would park the bus, which he kind of sort of did. It wasn't exactly the most attacking performance from Manchester United. But Chelsea to score 2 and Hazard to get no attacking returns and actually to come off with 1 point was a bit of a fucking... disappointment. Plenty of people thinking Martial. Surely that's just people jumping on the bandwagon.
Yeah, no, I think he's a bit of a confidence player, isn't he? He always looks like a moody bastard, Martial. So that it's 3-2 now. All the rumours suggest, we don't know at the moment, but all the rumours in today's media suggest that he's going to play against Juventus tonight. And he's looking at a run of fixtures in the team. I couldn't be looking at them attacking still. Nothing's changed. I think United got the goals through sloppiness from Chelsea. The sort of sloppiness that I think still puts them behind City and Liverpool in my mind. The first goal, there's plenty of chances to clear the box. You would have thought Alonso had a broken leg or something, the way he was rolling around in the box. Get up, mate. He was on his feet. When they kicked off again, he was on his feet. Fucking get up, mate. Get in the way of the ball. The second goal is Luiz doing Luiz things. Although he could have easily scored twice for me. Because he's in my team, he could have easily scored twice at the weekend. But he had a David Luiz moment, didn't he? We're trying to take out Juan Mata. All he has to do is stand his ground. Mata's never going to beat him for pace.
No.
Rashford does well. And then Martial takes for me what was a bad first touch, but then buried it. Technically, in front of goal, I think we've seen him do that finish quite a lot. He's got that little bit of Henri in terms of the way he sort of insteps into the far post quite often.
Yeah.
But not a... I can't look at Mkhitaryan at the moment. Not interested.
I agree with you. I think Hazard stick on. A few interesting things to come out of Chelsea in terms of Rudiger, a goal and an assist. Makes him attractive.
Should have been two goals as well, because obviously the save from De Gea for the equaliser late on.
And he picked up bonus points.
Rudiger
as
sits
well.
In our dead team, who got 70 points this week, by the way. Fucking killed it.
Yeah.
And I said to you pre-season, I think he'll be a bit of a BPS guy and a really solid pick. I think with him as well, he's basically competing with Cahill, whereas Luiz is competing with Christensen. So Rudiger's absolutely nailed. I think, and I always felt this when they were winning all the games at the start, was I'm not convinced defensively. David Luiz can just have a moment, can't he? I think Alonso as well, positionally, can get caught out defensively. Azpilicueta is safe as houses. I would have thought the best right back in the league in terms of defensively, certainly. I think it will cost them defensively. Rudiger is an option, but I think it's overpriced. I think if you're going to go that far, you might as well go to Alonso. And as I said last week, I'm quite happy sitting on David Luiz. The fact that he's an error-prone comedy act half the time doesn't affect my fantasy points. Except when they're conceding goals, it obviously does. True.
Bournemouth 0, Southampton 0. Didn't see that one really. Didn't see it as a board draw 0-0. No, I wouldn't call it a board draw necessarily, but yeah, no goals. Surprise, surprise. Nice little tidy bonus points and save points for Begovic for you. I know someone that captained Callum Wilson who picked up a yellow card and nothing.
Oh yeah, I know that prick as well.
He's the fact that he's sitting about 15k overall in the entire competition, or 30k or something, isn't he?
So that won't fucking last.
No, that's true. To Bournemouth 0, Southampton 0.
Is that your assessment, is it?
Well, a lot of people getting itchy feet on Fraser off the back of it, but I don't think it's the right time to be making rash decisions.
Fucking Fulham next week.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't even think about it till afterwards at the moment with the way they're defending. Mm-hmm. I said in the preview to this game that it's notoriously been a low-scoring
game,
fixture
yeah.
over the years. And actually, Southampton possibly could have nicked this with Gabbiadini's header at the end. Austin, who got a start, if he'd have had a bit more sort of composure in front of goal when he tried to go around the keeper. Looked like probably a fair result. I think Bournemouth are always going to struggle a bit more when they're fancied. They're so well equipped at the moment on the counter-attack with Brooks, Fraser, that actually this sort of fixture, when a team's going to sit in a little bit more, doesn't suit them as well. You certainly shouldn't be rushing to come off the Fraser's Wilson's on that. I think certainly I wouldn't even dream of thinking about it till next week after Fulham.
Agreed. And speaking of Fulham, Cardiff 4, Fulham 2. Neil Warnock was fucking... I've never seen him so happy in his life.
Really?
He was loving it. His post-match press conference, he couldn't be happier.
You got any quotes for us? Or?
No, just his general demeanour. It was like, the fact that they deserved it because they've been working so hard and all the rest of it. But that Fulham defence is a problem. The talk in the town is that Jokanović, or however you pronounce it, Jokanović has only got 2 games left to save his job.
I think that would be incredibly harsh.
It would be harsh, but it wouldn't surprise you, would it?
I think the problem for them at the moment, you kind of really saw it in the Arsenal game, and I said last week you started questioning, because we all kind of thought, oh, they're all right. And actually you're looking at it and going, well, they've won 1 game against Burnley. Mm-hmm. What are they? It's the opposite to the Huddersfield problem in terms of you can't score goals. If you're going to keep shipping them, it's like that Blackpool team were great to watch, weren't they?
Yeah.
But when you concede like nearly 90-odd goals, you're going to go back down, aren't you? And at the moment, they're on track to be doing that sort of number. You're not going to stay up unless you're tightening up defensively. And that has to be priority. I think fair game to them for coming up and sticking up to the beliefs that got them in the league. And I think in the early fixtures, I saw it at Wembley. They had little spells against Burnley. We saw it. Where you think they are a good side, keep playing like that. But now teams know what they're playing against, and I think they're just getting exposed to fuck on the break. Mm-hmm. Like if you're conceding 4 at Cardiff,
you're in trouble.
They go to Anfield in a couple of weeks, noted.
Yeah. It doesn't stop Schürrle and Mitrovic being assets that you'd consider, because they're still scoring goals.
No, the only warning...
just defensively, yeah, the only, about it.
I mean, Schürrle's goal was a great goal. The only warning I'd have on them is, for them, they're now, when we sort of said, we've been saying it for weeks, oh, Huddersfield, Cardiff will likely go, the other one's going to be hard to choose. If you were pinned now, you go, they'd go, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And I think to get themselves out of this position of conceding all the goals, they've got to be a little bit more pragmatic, right?
Mm.
They've got to just bounce, border up a little bit more. And that may mean that you're seeing lower scoring games in the near future. But how did, I mean, you've got both. How do you feel at the moment? They both returned at the weekend, right? So
one
you're
assist,
not complaining.
One goal.
Exactly.
I want to get down to only having one, but it's not a priority for me. So within the next few weeks, Mitrovic will go. I think I'm going to keep Schürrle and lose Mitrovic. But it's not something that I'm shitting the bed over. I'm happy to, like, both of them could return in any given game at the moment. So I'd rather have one than two, but it's not keeping me up at night. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Speaking, we were talking earlier about not wanting to moan about refs. Manchester City 5, Burnley 0. Dyche had a good fucking
that
moan, didn't
that second
he?
Goal was fucking bizarre. I mean, it's so weird. He's offside. Zone. The ball's gone out. There's so many things. It might have been a penalty. I don't know. There's so many things wrong with it.
But regardless, like, you can how say, can you not have three Manchester City players in your team at the moment?
How many have you got?
One. But how can you not? I'm figuring out Mendy's a must for me. So that takes me back up to two. The only reason I don't have Mendy is because of his injury and I never got him back in yet. But then the question is, who's the number three? But if they're winning games fours and fives and sixes, which they will regularly throughout the season, I think I need three.
I'm slightly concerned after predicting that Sterling would get left out that I'm going to be getting a lot of who's playing for City this weekend, which, can I just say, is the hardest thing in the world to predict. I've got no more idea than the majority of you. I just felt that he'd put so much effort into the two England games and they have a big game tonight that he would get rested. And as I said, and is my cap plan has said it in his article about Sterling, that, like, he is essential for them and therefore there's every chance he's going to get left out in a home game against someone like Burnley, having played through the international break. Like, you know, Stones had a break. It was no coincidence, really, that Walker didn't play. It was a good opportunity to give Kompany a game. Laporte didn't go away on international duty. These ones were quite obvious. David Silva. I've had so many people saying to me lately, why are you still on David Silva? You keep jumping off the City players and you're going to lose it. You're going to miss it.
Yeah.
So I knew I'd get a return off him eventually. I wouldn't be bothered about playing him at Spurs on Monday. I'd probably get another return off him. He's not the one I want in there, is what I would say. I want to go towards De Bruyne or Sterling. But I wouldn't be bouncing behind. You see people all the time bouncing between Mahrez, Sane, Bernardo, David Silva. Pick one. If you're going to go for one of them, pick them and get on with it. Because they will share the points.
Are you concerned about...
And the minutes.
Are you concerned about Aguero?
No.
He's getting he's not playing the full games, but he's still returning game outs without fail.
Aubameyang's got like a goal every 15 minutes, hasn't he, over the last two games. So if Aguero's getting 60 and having more chances, who gives a shit? One week he's gonna fucking smash someone soon again. It's inevitable because every week the amount of chances he's having, particularly
his
home
miss
games.
Was fucking...
Well, yeah, you say that about the miss, but it's offside anyway, which nobody's picked up on.
No. Well, look, I think I'm never a fan of having three players from one team generally. I think two is always the most I like to stick to, especially from the big boys like City and Liverpool, because if you have three from each, you feel like you've got to play them most games, and then that's pretty much half your team. If you had three City and three Liverpool, that's six players. That's half, more than half your team coming from two teams. So I'm not a big fan of having three, but when I see City winning continuously high-scoring games to nil, it's tempting not to. I think Aguero's a must for me, and Mendy's a must for me. I think I can live without a midfielder as it stands at the moment. Because the other team that you have to have at least a couple of players from at the moment is probably Liverpool. So then you can pick up a midfield from Liverpool. Let's move on to the game that you thought Newcastle would nick 1-0.
Just quickly, one final thing on City, because I just had a double check. So their goal difference is now at the same level as their points. And suddenly we blinked and it's happened. And they're at plus 23, which is 10 better than anybody else.
Yeah.
Go on, sorry. Newcastle.
They've scored six. That's the thing with City. They'll bang in 4 and 5 and 6 more regularly than Liverpool probably will this season.
I think in terms of Liverpool, that could switch a bit back if sort of Mane, Salah rediscover form. Firmino's not been at it. They've got Shaqiri, Sturridge, who we know can get goals off the bench or when they're going to play. Is returning players like Lallana. So I think that could quickly change.
Yeah, but City will still outscore Liverpool, I think, this season as it stands at the moment.
Yes, agreed.
Newcastle, where's your Lascelles?
He's in my team, mate.
What the fuck's going on with Lascelles?
He'll be in my team again next week, the way he's Southampton as well. Who haven't scored in 3, I think. So the band score next week. Yeah.
They? 2 points for Newcastle is no fucking joke.
Look, all right, Lascelles' excuse right here, right now. It ain't a fucking corner. Jonjo Shelvey tries to trip the goalkeeper up about 3 times. He takes a massive deflection off the inside of the guy's calf or something and wrongfoots Dubravka and goes in. And then that was just about the only shot Brighton had. And I think Newcastle territorially had the majority of the game. Chris Hughton said they really had to dig deep to get the result. And although it's a shit, horrendous result, on a different day, it goes the other way and no one says anything. I think the concern for Newcastle, and it would be more if you took the gamble and say your Kennedys or that, is they've obviously had a really difficult fixture run, which we've now highlighted as finished. But in the 4 games they have played against sides outside last year's top 6, they haven't scored a goal yet.
No.
Every goal they've scored has been against one of that top 6 from last season.
You don't really see where the goals are coming from. It's a real problem for them.
No.
As much as we spoke about it in the last show and you were advocating it, Newcastle investment maybe here or there and a couple of players, for me it's not interesting at all. I'm disregarding pretty much everyone from Newcastle. We spoke about the West Ham Spurs game. Wolves 0, Watford 2.
That's fucking harsh on Brighton, that was.
To be honest, there's a question on Twitter about double Brighton investment.
All right, we'll come back to Brighton then. We not said we'd do that last week and we didn't. Yeah, we'll come back to it. We'll do that on Twitter.
Wolves 0, Watford 2. All I'd say is I did say Watford would score.
Oh, listen to you, like Mr. fucking know-it-all.
Yeah, I also said Wolves would win 2-1.
Yeah, well, I said Wolves would win about 4-0, didn't I? Yeah, sorry,
I did think Watford would score. It is hard on your promoted side to continuously keep clean sheets in that way.
This is the most fascinating result from the weekend, and I think for FPL as well, for a number of reasons, particularly for people like myself who've got sort of 4 players actually between the 2 teams. So, major disappointment for those with the Wolves defensive. You've all done great having your double ups and getting your clean sheets. I think when this happens, you do start immediately questioning what you're thinking in terms of having 2 defensive players from the same side that's not someone in the top 6. I don't think you should rush to move that. Fixture is still okay at Brighton this weekend, who might be without Murray, we'll come back onto. But it was a real shocking result because I don't think we saw it coming. And there's a few who, I know Bradley said Moutinho was under par. He said Jota was particularly under par and things should be dropped. Jimenez was also taken off early, as well as
he had a knock or he didn't have a knock.
I think Caballero come on for him and they just wanted to go with a bit more pace up front, I think. Johnny was replaced for Vinegar at half-time. I don't know if that's injury related or not. We'll look into that possibly for Thursday. But actually, the story is really Watford. And what happens next if you're in that very unusual position like me, who've sat there with Isaac Success, who played at the weekend and played well at 4.5 million up front, and they're at home to Huddersfield next week, and he may well keep the shirt. Does he play or
Troy
not?
Troy Deeney's injured. Is he fit again?
So Gray was carrying a knock, but was sub. And Deulofeu played up front. I've seen a lot of media outlets reporting that Deulofeu played wide and Hughes played in midfield. It's not true. Deulofeu played up front and was a live wire and threatening and basically played ahead of Success, who did very much the Deeney job, which is interesting that you say that because it could then be that it's a choice between Success and Deeney. Now, if Deeney's not fit, what do I do? Do I play Success at the weekend at home to Huddersfield? I think I have to, don't I?
I think so.
Yeah. I've got to, haven't I?
I think so. Yeah, you've bought him for a reason, and it's not for the ones that he keeps picking up while he's sitting on your bench. If there's one game that you're going to play him when he's very, very highly likely to start and it's at home to Huddersfield, it's the one game that you're going to get to play him.
Same for Will Hughes.
Only happen twice a season. Now, Will Hughes has been playing regularly and consistently, so you should be playing him whenever Watford have a winnable game. And Will Hughes is a good attacking player. I've got no issue with Will Hughes. I watched him live last season when I went to Vicarage Road for the West Ham game. And I think he's a very good footballer. So if you've got the opportunity to play him, go for it.
Yeah, I think particularly well to change for them the front two and also be without, as we'd highlighted, Holibas and Cabasele through suspension. Messina played particularly well, I'm told, and could well keep the shirt, which is worth noting. I don't know. I've unfairly underestimated them a little bit. I just felt like they'd had good results. And then I guess after losing 4-0 home to Bournemouth, you think it's kind of caved in a bit. But they played well. I heard Kapu played very well. Very tidy goal. Pereira's finish was brilliant. Unusually getting points away from home. I'm not saying we should be diving into them, but they've obviously got a great fixture this weekend. And it's an awkward one. I don't really want to play their assets. No. They actually lost that fixture at home 4-1 last season, which I think was probably about 50% of goals Huddersfield have scored in the last year.
Let's move on to Huddersfield 0, Liverpool 1.
That said, they were unlucky, weren't they, Huddersfield? They give them a fight again. You called it, didn't you? Low scoring, 1-0.
I mean, games after international breaks are always... Some clubs are more than others, like City smashed them. But
yeah, by the way, you know, I said tweet me if...
the stats.
Yeah, someone did. So they had like 7-2 against Stoke last year. City.
Yeah,
in their four games after their international breaks last year, I think City got about 18.
Yeah, but City have got about 300 players. Liverpool, on the other hand, didn't have Mane and didn't have Firmino, right? It was Sturridge, Shaqiri and Salah up front?
Yeah.
So
Salah played through the middle, basically.
And he scored.
And he scored, importantly.
And he scored the winning goal in a 1-0 win.
Again.
And got no
same
bonus
as,
points.
Same as Brighton game week 3, I think
no
that was.
BPS. But yeah. Someone who did get Max Bones was Dejan Lovren.
Max Bones. Dejan Lovren got Max Bones, did he?
Max bonus points.
Two consecutive Max Bones for Dejan Lovren. I've seen a few Liverpool fans moaning, why is he playing? Well, it's back-to-back clean sheets, isn't it? It's concerning if you went Alexander-Arnold, I think.
It's again triple Liverpool defence getting all of the bonus points. It's not the first time it's happened this season.
Yeah, it was just solid as defensively. And Huddersfield, if you win 1-0 at Huddersfield, it is quite likely that the defensive players are going to pick up those points because they do put the ball into the box, so there is going to be a few aerial clearances, blocks, etc., etc. So not surprised that Lovren came out on top of that again. Is he worth looking at? No, not right now, because I think just as easy it will be Gomez back at centre-half and Alexander-Arnold back in. I wouldn't take anything that happens in the Champions League game as a clue, because I think that's the sort of game that Klopp will look to rotate in.
Lovren picked up Max Bonus points. Van Dijk was second. Robertson was third. Who was fourth?
Robertson, joint second. No?
Joint second. Yeah. So there was no third.
But... It was fourth. Shaqiri?
Gomez. Full house. It would have been.
He's an excellent prospect for Liverpool. Excellent prospect.
Gomez, to be fair, was tied with
I think they don't know
Salah.
Which one to go from with them. I think if you're going to go for one of the three, I think you'd still have to go Alexander-Arnold, because he can be on the set pieces and the like anyway. It's a watch and wait. I think I would have really wanted to go back for one of them ahead of Cardiff this weekend potentially, but I don't really know which one to do. And I completely understand there's been so much disappointment, people that looked at that before Huddersfield and Cardiff and went TAA and obviously feel like they've missed some of it already. Mm-hmm. It's pretty frustrating. So I probably wouldn't. Mane is the only one I would think of adding before Cardiff. I think we'll talk Liverpool a bit more Thursday.
Everton 2, Crystal Palace 0. The interesting thing with Everton is the players that have been getting all of the kind of interest in the last couple of weeks. Richarlison, once he came back from his suspension, Siggy with his goals, Bernard with his assist, none of them were fucking point scorers. It was a completely different set of point scorers this week.
Yeah.
For Everton. Tidy 2-0 win. Goals were in the last fucking few minutes.
I think if Milivojevic had scored the penalty, I think that would have lost.
It would have been a different game, but ended up with a 2-0 win that looks comfortable enough on paper. Milivojevic was last season's fucking diamond because of his penalties in the second half of the season. His ridiculous price of like 4.5 million. Missed one.
Price
goes up
Pickford.
And he missed one.
A very important time of the game as well, where it looked like it was beginning to fizzle out. And that's like what I said. I think if Palace had gone in front, it probably would have sat in and held on. They're in trouble. I think for Everton, Richarlison obviously needs speaking about. I obviously went in and did it. I felt I had to be ahead of the curve in case it went very well. You now look at away to United this weekend and think, well, in my opinion, he definitely plays for me, because I actually think the away games might suit him more at the moment. We saw him have a number of chances for Watford early last season in away games with a little bit more space. I don't think he's suited to that back-to-goal stuff at home against sides in and around them, sides that are going to sit behind the ball. And Tomkins and Saka are a physical pair. I don't think that suits him at all well, whereas that might be a bit different at Old Trafford at the weekend, and actually might enjoy it a little bit more. When Walcott went through one-on-one, my heart was in my mouth, as I think, I was thinking of Tom, who got the assist, because I know he sold him as well. And I could see him thinking, he's not just fucking done that, has he? But true to form, Theo clean through, missed. The one that stood out for me, and I'm not sure he's an FPL option, but I thought Michael Keane was excellent for Everton at the weekend. Very good.
He did, when they bought him, he was one of the next big thing, right?
But that was the best I've seen him play for them.
Stones and Harry Maguire and what have you, from an England perspective, have performed better, but you know the underlying talent is still there with Keane, so if he does start performing well, happy days.
Yeah, it's just a case of obviously Zuma's gone there on loan, Mina's on the outskirts of it. Will he get in the team? 4.9 is not a bad price, and they do have a good run of home fixtures, as we've said a number of times, so there may well be clean sheets at Goodison, but your away fixtures are rubbish. If you can find a nice rotator there, I think they're paired with Liverpool. Fuck.
Obviously.
Scrap that.
Well, from a price point of view, Trent and Gomez are just the other side of five, and he's only just
You're not going to leave Alexander Arnold out.
No. No, but he might automatically be subbed out of your team.
Yeah, possibly.
Playing, so. And then the final game yesterday evening, Gooners 3-1.
It was a fascinating game of football. I sat gripped to it at the start because my opinion on a lot of things actually in the whole league changed through that game. I sat there after 25 minutes thinking, fucking hell, this Leicester are a good side. So I've only really seen them play against Liverpool, United, and then again Arsenal last night, and it's been hard to gauge. So I look forward to watching them play you at the weekend, someone a bit more their level, mate.
You notice how I ignore your nonsense comments.
Yeah, it's fine. Planet FPL Derby 2 next week. You can have that one, mate. We're not bothered. The way they set up, I tweeted it at the time. It's unusual. I'll tweet something during a game. It basically lined up with a 5-2-3 with Vardy and Iheanacho designed to try and expose the space left in behind Arsenal's fullbacks, and Maddison playing like a false nine. And for the first half hour or so, Maddison was top draw. He looked so up for it. Iheanacho looked a threat off the start, and I was immediately thinking, oh, 5.9. Why didn't we speak about him as a differential forward last week?
Iheanacho?
Yeah. But then as soon as they scored, it fizzled out.
I think over the course of the season, Iheanacho's name's been mentioned a few times.
And it's not a discredit to Leicester, because Arsenal recovered so well, and in the second half, they were excellent.
Mesut Ozil had a great game.
His contribution to the third goal was as good as anything you'll see from anybody in any goal this season. And we have to say that because we hammer him every fucking week, mate. But he was brilliant last night.
Yeah, to be fair, we don't hammer him for footballing reasons. We normally hammer him for not fucking
turning up. Yeah,
more than anything else. A fella I know who's an Arsenal fan who sits next to you in the office said that it was the best he'd seen Ozil play ever with an Arsenal shirt.
Oh, I've seen him play better than that.
I didn't agree with that, but if Ozil plays like that week in, week out, Arsenal are always a threat.
The key to Ozil, and I think I said this a few times last year, if he's got pace either side and in front of him, you think of Bellerin and Iwobi to the right, and then Aubameyang off the left, Lacazette in front of him. He'll find the pass. The pass for the second goal to Bellerin's so good. I think you'll see that pass a few times. Bellerin had one hell of a roller coaster night with own goal and then
couple of
two
assists. Yeah.
I just think, I don't know, would you consider him as a short-term replacement for Trippier, for example? I don't think so. I think that they're still going to be conceding goals, Arsenal, and I think you would have to have the attacking returns to get off, and much off Bellerin in the immediate. And everybody's having lots of regrets this morning about Lacazette or Aubameyang and picking the wrong one. Let me say right now, how Lacazette never scored last night, I've got no fucking clue, mate. The amount of chance he had, no idea. Those goals will come. And Aubameyang's numbers are why he's priced the way he's priced at sort of 10.7. And that's going to come back up now again.
Yeah. I predicted Aubameyang to be golden boot at the start of the season. I thought that prediction was out the window after about the first four or five games. But
he's back on.
He is back on. And when he's in this mood, like he did it at the back end of last season, we have the evidence that he's a great goal scorer. He's the place that I would go to away from Aguero if for any reason I was moving away from Sergio Aguero.
I absolutely think there's an argument for going from Aguero to either Aubameyang or Lacazette. I think, and Aubameyang is priced more, I think longer term, I'm sure I said this last week or the week before, I think Lacazette might be the shorter term option, but I'm sure by the end Aubameyang will have
more points,
the more goals. Yeah, I'm certain of it. It's a fair argument as well because midfield, it looks difficult to go into them as well, whereas you could then go to sort of Sterling instead for City.
Yeah,
midfield.
Exactly. My argument for moving away from Aguero to Aubameyang or Lacazette would be to get in KDB.
Yeah.
I probably couldn't afford Raheem Sterling, but it would be for KDB at that point. And then my City coverage would be Mendy and KDB. So interesting. Leicester, what are your thoughts on Maddison?
Excellent for half hour. And the first half hours, I'd watching him quite closely because you could tell right at it, his technique was spot on. He looked like he'd grown from the person who already from in game week one, I think all impressed us all when we thought, oh, he's a player now. He was bossing. But he just faded out of the game. And as he faded, so did Leicester. And to be fair, Arsenal made a couple of tactical tweaks that caused Leicester problems. And once the tide had turned from the equaliser, I think the final conclusion was quite inevitable. And Arsenal well deserved to win by the end. But yeah, Maddison, even on that half hour, was enough to make me think, yes, serious FPL prospect there. The only thing is, I think unlike, say, with obvious ones, with say with yours, I think I know we talked about your players a bit, but Arnautovic is obvious, isn't it?
Very obvious.
Iheanacho is an option as well. Like his goal record is not too bad, and I don't ever want to be in a position where I'm sort of got two Leicester attackers.
No,
and Madison's the one everyone's got, so I kind of want to look to be
a bit different.
Yeah, maybe.
So my question,
I'm not sure.
My question on Maddison was quite weighted in the sense that I bought Maddison two game weeks ago and I've had nothing off him yet, and he's the one that I'm tempted to move on to upgrade to a different midfielder like an Ozil, or if I can make some moves, maybe even KDB. But with the fixtures that Leicester have got coming up now, to having bought Maddison, I mean, they've got a great run coming up now. It just doesn't make any sense to be moving away from Maddison.
Do they got it a weekend?
West Ham at home, Cardiff away, Burnley at home, Brighton away.
I was just giving Sige a sign behind his back while he looked. I knew. Sorry, mate.
Indeed. Go on then.
Coming
you
in.
You think Leicester are going to beat us?
What, the weekend?
Yeah.
If the way they started. I think the most interesting thing out of it in its conclusion was, I think quite a few teams will try and copy what Leicester did at the start of the game. In terms of trying to get in behind that space. I think particularly when they play Wolves at home in a couple of weeks, because Wolves kind of already set up in that sort of way, I wonder if he might play like Traore there next to Monreal, and Wolves could do some serious damage on the break, I think. But Arsenal's a work in progress. I think they're doing far better than anybody expected they would. And at the moment, they're in the mix. For me, they've got a difficult run of fixtures. And in terms of their hopes for the season, I think we'll find out a lot in the next few weeks. But attacking-wise, they're going to get goals, it's clear.
Definitely. Sure. Let's leave that there. That was the fixtures from game week 9. Some interesting results, but overall, obviously, low scoring game week. And moving on to game week 10, it's going to be really interesting to see whether that continues or we're back to kind of a high point scoring game week. City away at Spurs is obviously a top of the table clash, but Chelsea, Arsenal, Liverpool all have winnable games. As well as some other interesting fixtures like Fulham at home to Bournemouth and so on. So let's see where we go. Do you want to get into some Twitter questions?
Let's have some, mate.
Let's do it. And let's start with your friend that you have just signed, which is Richarlison.
I was going to say, what he's done about Spurs, we ain't signed years,
for
mate.
Ages. Too much money paying off the stadium, which isn't even built yet. has moving Richarlison out of position actually reduced his effectiveness? And that question's coming in from at @FPO_planner_guy. And hold, before you answer it, @FPO_Prashant also says, is it time to say goodbye to Richarlison? He's got some tough games in between the good home fixtures, but as shown last night, he isn't guaranteed to return even in easy games. I don't think anyone is guaranteed to return in any kind of games. And we've also got FPL Vanessa wants to know if it's time to sell Richarlison. And if she doesn't sell Richarlison, should she play him or play Bennett in the next game week? Wolves are away at Brighton. Richarlison, stick or twist?
I've just fucking got him. Give me a chance.
For the rest of the punters out there.
Let's just break down at looking at the next few fixtures, because I think it's well documented. They've got a ridiculous run of away games and some good home games, which perhaps for Richarlison playing as a nine might not be helpful. Tosun, by the way, looked a lot livelier when he come on. Maybe he realises, oh shit,
I've got a fucking finger out a little bit here.
So that could change. I think Richarlison could play off the right, Bernard could play off the right, he could move Bernard centrally and Sigurdsson into a wide position. I don't see why he'd move Sigurdsson at the moment. But there are different options that are available there to Silva, and getting Walcott out of the team might be a good fucking start, as us FPL managers will tell you. If you look at him this week, Richarlison this weekend, and I see him, if he's going to go up against Lindelof and Smalling, and they're going to have less of the ball and he's going to have a bit more space, can he do some damage? Yes, definitely. You'd look at the week after, when they're at home to Brighton, and obviously you've got to play him, but actually that's a similar one to the game on Sunday, where if you compare Tompkins and Sacco, he's going to have that same sort of battle with Duncan Duffy. What I would say is, those two don't have the recovery pace that, say, Sacco does. So he might have a little bit more joy, but I think it's going to be quite a lot in terms of who he's up against. The following week, they go to Chelsea. He fucking murdered them last year. Remember when Watford lost 4-2 there?
Mm-hmm.
And they should have had the game won.
They should
Richarlison
have.
Was tearing them apart. So, nah, not a problem for me. I wouldn't be coming off.
Yeah,
I would say that.
The thing is, with Richarlison as well, you've got to think, okay, he's what, 6.8 now? Where are you going to go? There are a few options either side, like Maddison. Maybe if you chuck in Mkhitaryan at 7 million into that bracket, or Fraser at 6 million maybe. But they aren't any
always
better.
Always take Lamella with you everywhere you
What's
go.
What's he, 7.3?
Always take Lamella. He's about the same, isn't he? 6.8, isn't he, Lamella?
Well, you wouldn't say any of them are better options. Given the fixtures for one particular game week, they may be. But Richarlison, I think you can sit and hold. And I think Richarlison's guaranteed minutes. He's going to be playing week in, week out. So for me, I think, stick. Richarlison is definitely a stick for now.
I think the two best price players in that bracket at the moment are Richarlison and Maddison, at sort of 7 and under. Mm. And obviously Fraser you can come down to. But we've got other people talking about coming off Fraser, right? So,
yep.
No. I'd be sticking. Something else will come up and appear in the next few weeks.
Yep, indeed. Quick fire question coming in from FPO underscore Finn. And I want a yes, no answer to this. Mendy essential?
No.
Question mark. For me, yes, at the moment. I think Mendy is a must have. I want two players from Manchester City, and Mendy is definitely one of them.
I'll tell you what I think he's not.
Go for it.
I repeat what I said after the Liverpool game, City's game at Liverpool. Man City, in my opinion, are always a better side when Leroy Sané plays. Mendy's numbers, despite another assist at the weekend, which they won 5-0, they're not going to do that every week. Could well be most weeks.
Probably every other week.
But not every week, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Mendy positionally did not get into the same positions that... And it's well documented, the idea that Mendy and Sané together, it doesn't really work. So I think there's still question marks there. What I would say is, generally speaking, he's pretty nailed in the team. I'm just not sure necessarily that the attacking contributions of, I think it's 6 assists now. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. As we said with Alonso a month ago, I don't know if it's sustainable. It always feels like it's reaction to the points, right? Oh, fuck, he's back in. Clean sheet at Liverpool. An assist and a clean sheet. Again, it's Burnley and double points again. His average per game is astonishing. So was Alonso's this time 6 weeks ago or whatever. So circumstances change. It's not one I feel I have to do, personally.
I think if you're looking at it, if he's not picking up an assist or a goal, he's definitely picking up a clean sheet. So would I take Mendy over Alonso when it's more than half a million, 0.8 cheaper? Yes. Would I take Mendy over Trippier at the moment with Spurs' form? Yes. It depends what kind of coverage you want from City, but he's the best defensive asset from City at the moment, and he's scoring points. So for me, he's a must-have. I think Mendy's definitely there. I was going to try and get Mendy in alongside Trippier, Alonso and Robertson. I may probably just move from Trippier to Mendy and have three.
What I would say is I think that is a good move, Trippier to Mendy.
Because a lot of people are asking questions around Spurs, which we'll get onto in a second. Let's answer a few questions about West Ham. And the reason we're going to answer these is because we've actually already answered them, but let's just wrap them up.
All
right. Ron Weasley's got his question of the day, but aside from his question of the day, Deanne Garner at 4.5 looks likely to have a run in the side now. What are your thoughts?
So for those who don't know, Ron, question of the day, he's a West Ham fan.
He
also has, by the way, for those who don't know, he has the best profile picture on Twitter, which is worth looking at. So he's West Ham and he thinks that your young boy is an option.
He's likely to now have a run in the side at right wing.
You didn't go to that Macclesfield game, did you?
I did not.
Well, maybe you'd feel different if you had.
Maybe.
And weren't just a fair weather supporter.
Oh, yeah, here we go. You and your fucking not missing a game. Are you going to the...
I'm going back to that shit. Oh, I'm a glutton for punishment.
There's no evidence...
Bring your smoke bombs.
Other than he was brought on as a sub, that Deon Garner's going to get a run in the side.
Other than the fact he got brought on ahead of Antonio. Is that not a big clue?
Yeah, but look at the early season fixtures. Who was playing as a front three? Anderson, Snodgrass.
Snodgrass played in that position because
Obiang was out with a calf strain.
Right,
Obiang is fit again. So in my opinion, I don't think he's going to be first choice. I'm happy to be proved wrong. Look, if young kids are getting a run out and they're attacking talent, do it. But I don't think Pellegrini's going to do it.
There are always a couple of kids every year who break out at the bottom price who... you should be considering. Now, I don't think anybody stepped up and sort of claimed that yet this year. This boy, no one's saying go and buy him now. What we're saying is, this boy's 4.5 million. He's a wide player who wants to take players on. West Ham have a great run of fixtures. You should be watching this in the next couple of weeks. Because if he's playing regularly, you're going to tell me he's not a better option than Obiang, who you've gone for.
Would I? Yeah, I'll take Deanne Garner, but... it's also not a long... I don't think he'll play.
It's not a long term, point. But Yarmolenko's out for the season.
Well, yeah,
it could be. That's all we're saying.
Yeah, ifs and buts. Because you say people are not saying go and buy him now. At FPL underscore Matt has the question. Replacements for Fraser would be useful. I think he's got one more week before a lot of people move him on. I'm thinking Dean Garner or Snodgrass. There are plenty of people mentioning Dean Garner's name, and I'll be really interested to see how many people have bought him this week.
Because the community is smart. Our listeners are clever, most of them.
Okay.
It's just the host that don't know what they're talking about.
Look, if Dean Garner fucking bangs in a hat-trick, I'm not going to be the one complaining, am I?
Don't buy him now. But you're live on the telly at the weekend. I don't think he'll start away to Leicester. But I think it's one to watch over the forthcoming weeks. Definitely.
Sure.
To answer the Fraser question, no. Why are you rushing to come off?
Definitely not this week.
No.
And the other one that was coming in around West Ham was from FPO underscore Pichichi, who was asking about Diop, which we did speak about. Worth a go at 4.3. I mean, there's no... he's as good as maybe Wan-Bissaka at 4.3, given Crystal Palace's current performances and goals conceded and goals scored or not. But I wouldn't be going with Diop. If you really wanted defensive, you're only going to have one from West Ham in terms of defensive coverage. Your first choice is always going to be the keeper, Fabianski, who's playing very well. But other than that, I would take Balbuena. He's only 0.1 more, and he has more attacking threat than Diop does at set pieces, in my opinion.
Well, you watch them every week, mate, so the community is going to probably trust you. I'm not going to argue against it. I would probably be keen to go the other way, personally, would be my instinct.
You watch Spurs, and the community are interested in your opinion on them. So, at fshn underscore 82 says, is it time to offload all Spurs assets until game week 15? And alongside that, you have FPL planner guy who's saying, is it time to get rid of Trips and Kane with their tough fixture run ahead? We've been saying it for a few weeks now, and you have. Don't buy any of the players.
I'll talk about Spurs in a bit more, because obviously, look, we're playing in the Champions League tomorrow night. So we'll record again Thursday, and I'll tell you my thoughts on that.
You may as well put out fucking
BT. With Eriksen.
You're not going through, so rest them.
I believe that we're most likely not, mate. Mate, if we lose tomorrow night, we ain't even going to make fucking Thursday nights, mate.
Yeah,
so
I'm looking forward to your Thursday-Sunday fixture run.
Listen, I tell you what, if we beat Man City Monday night, all our eggs are fucking going into that, and I don't give a shit about anything else. But I don't think we will beat Man City Monday night. I cannot see
it. Voice of confidence.
At all. No, when I just know that, in my head, I just know that they're superior than us in every single department. They beat us 4-1 and 3-1 last year. And they got 10 plus in the two games. I couldn't have complained. Absolutely destroyed us. We've got players coming back from injury or injured or not 100% fit. City don't seem to have those problems at the moment. So I wouldn't see anything other than City winning Monday night. And that hurts me to say it, but it's the honest truth.
So Spurs players, go on, answer the question. Well, game week 15.
I've got Kane, right? So I can be relative to that and say, yes, I want to come off. That was the plan. It's still the plan. He is definitely the best attacking option in the squad at the moment, until Eriksen or Ali changed that opinion, I think. And am I that bad off sitting on the best attacking player from one of the best sides in the league? I don't know. I think my biggest problem is, I know that I want to go to Arnautovic, and the game Saturday made me think that more. But I am concerned about this injury thing still, mate.
So let's move on to a question from at underscore Lafleur underscore DLC. And the question is Arnie's injury a problem? I'm really keen to bring him in for this good run of fixtures.
Yeah, I want to get him in as well.
I mean, look, he played out the whole 90. He was charging around.
You were never
going to
take him off,
it.
Were you? He's a fucking angry man, isn't he?
Well, he just plays that way.
He's going to have a few ones, isn't he?
Yeah.
Because he's going to have the odd hothead.
Like last
moment.
Week, he picked up a yellow card.
No, on a different day, he'd got a couple at the weekend, in fairness. And I think that's a positive for his FPL prospects. The injury is a concern. And it's off-putting, because I want to get that transfer right. That said, you could keep waiting and keep missing it. I think that's a fascinating watch this weekend, actually, Leicester-West Ham. I will definitely be putting my feet up and watching it, because there's a number of potential prospects there. The obvious ones like Arnie Madison, and perhaps the less obvious ones like how will you set up without Yarmolenko and Iheanacho and maybe a few others who are worth looking from the other side as well. So I'm looking forward to that Saturday evening.
So Arnie, injury does concern you.
He's definitely who I want to go to from Kane, but it is a concern.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat, but for kind of sort of different reasons. I already own Arnautovic from an FPL point of view, and he's my club's main talisman. So yeah, him getting injured will keep me up at night. But he did play the full 90. He was charging around like a fucking man possessed at the weekend and didn't play like a man carrying an injury. But when you do play like that, you can easily pick up an impact injury.
There was a bizarre video that your club released on the Friday. Had you seen this?
I did not.
This was on the official West Ham Twitter. Who it was like, go on, Arnie, hit the bar or something. He flicks it up, follows it, hits the bar, doesn't it? Well done, well done. And then he runs off and he's clearly fucking limping to fuck. And I thought, that's bizarre they put that on the website. And as soon as I saw that, I went, he's definitely fit tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
Otherwise, there's no way they're posting that on the website.
It could be smoke and mirrors, you
could
never know.
Could be, but I think there is an issue. It is obvious. It's definitely true that he is at times not training and potentially taking injections to get through games. At some point, that's probably going to catch up. But that said, he's definitely the option in that price range.
Indeed. Let's move it on to FPL underscore Bailey, FPL shots. We're going to change up a little bit. James, would you rather look like Cristiano Ronaldo?
Oh, I saw this one.
And play like Luke Chadwick or look like Luke Chadwick and play like Cristiano Ronaldo?
I'd rather look like your mum and play like Messi. Yeah, there you go.
So that's Luke Chadwick and play like Ronaldo.
I would rather...
for someone that spent their life looking like Luke Chadwick, I thought you were going to go and say, let me take the fucking looks for a period and be like Cristiano Ronaldo.
No, I would definitely take look like Chadwick and play like Ronaldo. Definitely. I wouldn't want... See, Ronaldo's not great anyway because I wouldn't want to look like that.
No, it's not a good example.
Nah, we're British. It's not masculine.
David Ginola.
Fucking good looking guy. Paolo Gazzaniga is another handsome one we've got at the Spurs at the moment. Who's good looking at West Ham?
Who's the best looking at West Ham?
Jack Wilshere with his tongue out.
Fucking take a bit of Martin Noble. Nah, I don't know. Maybe.
Got any good looking players?
I think probably Balbuena. Maybe Fabianski. Yeah, Balbuena.
Fabianski.
Maybe dark hair. Handsome chap.
We've got some good looking boys at Spurs. Gazzaniga, Llorente. I'm naming all the shit players here. Toby's good looking. Yeah, we got a few. Musa, Dembele, if you like that sort of thing. Musa Sissoko, if you like that sort of thing.
Toby's got the nice slick hair.
Yeah.
Let's keep it going.
Harry Kane's got the voice.
So we've got a few questions about best budget midfielders. So what we're going to do with all of those is bring them back on Thursday.
Cool.
For the next show. I think we'll do a bit of digging. If you come back with your two or three best midfielders under 5 million, we will come and give you a selection of those. And while we're on that, do you use, and this is coming from me, mate, just as a point of conversation, do you use the watch list feature on the game? Because it's not something I've ever used, but I am thinking now.
Used to, before I was in the Twitter community. I don't anymore.
We had the question a couple of weeks ago, like, is there only 30 or 40 or 50 players in the pool of selectable players at the moment? So I was having to think myself, and I think I'm going to actually just stick it all into my watch list, go down the teams and see if there are who I'm actually really considering as a way of filtering down.
I think one of the reasons to stop using it, so I think if you take an example, a good thing to do on the watch list, let's just say you went to, say I was going to replace Kane this week and I wanted to come right down in budget, and then I put on the watch list my Wilsons, my Kings, all them sort of players and put them on and then make my decision from there. I think the problem with the watch list is I think you need to basically quite often delete it and start it again every week to be truly on top of it. And I think quite often something appears to you that wasn't on the watch list and changes things for you anyway. So
I don't know if you have to delete the whole thing and start again.
I certainly... you can't just delete it. You have to physically take them out. And what you invariably do, or what I used to know, I'd be like, oh, I've got fucking 4 pages of a watch list here.
This
is annoying.
Yeah.
So I don't think, certainly in my case, I don't feel like I'm going to make a transfer and go, oh, no, I forgot about him. Like that's not going to happen. Mm. So I'll always assess my options.
Yeah. Right. This question is coming in from Amber Redmond, at Amber Redmond on Twitter. And there's 3 R's in the middle of that. So, not specific to any week, but what is your finest moment in FPL? And that's not necessarily your highest points haul.
Ooh, That's a good question. Immediately, I'm struck out by the Aguero 5 goals against Newcastle. It's the first thing that comes to
Did
mind.
Did you triple captain him then?
No. It was like October, weren't it? Wasn't that enough to 50 points? I was sitting at home with a wife and we'd both captained him and was watching Soccer Saturday. I still don't think I got any that night. Proudest achievement is obviously the sort of 20K rank from a couple of years ago. Although if I'd have had Kane the last week or so, it would have been a lot fucking higher. I guess the proudest thing is this podcast.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Spending about 4 hours a fucking week with me is ridiculous. The amount of time we spend looking at each other through microphones. I think for me, because I've been a player, but I've never really got into it seriously until the show started, which was last season. And I do remember you giving me grief about playing my second wild card prior to the double game weeks that were due. And then I was playing my free hit in that game week where there was only four games, was it?
We had some banter that day. Salah went mental.
And then I picked up 112 points off a free hit team that game week, which was pretty special. So 112 points of a free hit is definitely my highest point. And I'm not choosing out of a fucking big bunch of highlights in my FPL career. But that's definitely going to be one of them. Yep.
Podcast. Yeah, right. that's the highlight, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, look, when people do send in tweets, and quite a few people did in the questions for this, just saying, you know what, thanks for the dedication of putting two shows out and really looking forward to listening tomorrow. Yeah, I think it is a massive highlight.
If no one liked it, we wouldn't do it, right? Or if people didn't keep encouraging us, we wouldn't fucking bother. So
yeah, so to the three of you that do every week, please keep doing
it. Yeah, please, could you? Yeah, we'll keep retweeting, you fuckers.
At Lux_BigCats says, right, would you prefer to have a expensive forward with a 7 million priced midfielder or an expensive midfielder with a 6.5 million forward? And the specific that we get is Jimenez and Salah or Siggy and Aubameyang. That's a bit, I suppose.
Jimenez and Salah is the way I thought I'd be going. So I stay with that, but you've got to be open to change your mind. I know that Spirit Blues, our Everton correspondent, is very much thinking of going towards Sigurdsson rather than Richarlison. Tough one. I think it's the captaincy potential from Salah and someone like Jimenez enables that for you. Are you going to captain Aubameyang in the next couple of weeks?
I don't own him.
I think that's fucking Elsage. We know.
Is that a hypothetical question?
I'm putting it to the listeners. Will you captain Aubameyang in the next couple of weeks?
Considering Aubameyang hasn't started the last two fixtures, you're not going to put the armband on someone that you don't know is going to start. You were going to put the armband on Salah last week and took it off because you didn't know he was definitely going to start because of the injury. Any risk of him not starting, you're not going to put the armband on.
I think this week anyway, I'll do it.
What, with Salah?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he played last week.
Yeah, I think...
I think even
if Klopp said, I'm not sure he's going to start, I think I'll still captain him this week, mate. Fuck it.
Yeah, and ignore everything I just said about Aubameyang, because I'm thinking about putting the fucking armband on Sadio Mane this weekend, and he didn't play last week. But I think if he does get the nod, then I will be looking at him to consider.
Lots coming off Mane. A serious rate.
Mate, he's at 9.7, dropping to 9.6.
And I'm thinking of buying.
I think great asset to own. Right, another Twitter question for you. And this is coming from Chris Lowell Same. Great Twitter handle. There we go. 4 weeks of Captain Blanks, 2 of Kane, Richarlison and Aguero in a row. I think this is working backwards.
Yeah.
Robertson's now looking like a good pick with clean sheet and assist potential. Defenders should be considered for captain now. Clean sheet is worth more than a striker scoring. Look at Mendy the last few weeks he's played. Consistent, constant points.
Yeah, but you do it because the chance of defender hitting 20 is very rare. The chance of a defender hitting 20 and you captaining him are fucking nearly extinct, whereas it just takes one Aguero hat-trick and you're fucking nearly there.
Yeah, true.
So that's why you're looking for the big numbers, aren't you? I mean, Robertson, for example, he's regularly going to pull 8 points. Regularly.
Mm-hmm.
The chances are this week, think of it like this as well with Robertson. Liverpool are likely to score more goals this weekend. He is, in an odd way, obviously, unless he physically gets an attacking return, which Robertson hasn't been doing to, say, the Mendy extent this season, then Robertson's perhaps more likely to hit you with a six this week, which you take if you'd offer me a six for Robertson six, right now.
Quite possibly, plus a bit of BPS.
Any defender giving me a six, I'm fucking happy with that. Yeah, but if they're getting the attacking returns, he's less likely to be getting that. 1-0 away win's perfect for that little bit extra. And Robertson, so far this season, is unbelievable consistency, regular BPS contributor, whereas Mendy, Alonso are the attacking numbers as well. I think Robertson's just one assist, maybe, might be two. Maybe two.
Mm.
It's not to the same extent. As a captain, nah, not for me. I mean, are you that... go and look at Liverpool attacking talent this weekend. I wouldn't be put off... By the way, I wouldn't be put off captaining Aguero this weekend. If suddenly Salah was out, I think I'd just leave it on Aguero.
If Salah... If I get news that Mane's going to not play this week as well... for me, it moves over to Hazard, who's away at Burnley, who Jan Chelsea...
Yeah, it's not a bad fixture either. Surely you must have some of these players. I wouldn't. Yeah,
exactly.
So you've Robertson... With captaincy, is a balance between consistency, and don't get me wrong, if he captains Robertson and gets 16, if you offered him that now, he'd probably be quite happy. Yeah, great.
Me too.
But it's what your Hazards and Agueros could do, and Salah this weekend, yeah, it could be, couldn't it?
Yeah. And that is that.
Nice.
We've got a few more Twitter questions to look at, but I think they're all focused more around game week 10. So if you have tweeted us in a question and we haven't answered it, fear not. We will be answering all of the remaining questions in time before the next game week deadline. We also have, obviously, a couple of nights of Champions League fixtures where there will probably possibly be some injuries. And some other nonsense that happens in the next 48 hours that we need to take into consideration before game week 10.
Just interesting. I've just seen the United team playing Juventus exactly the same lineup as the Chelsea game.
So Martial, Lukaku and Rashford up front.
Yep.
It's interesting. Mata's playing in the midfield?
Yeah, he's playing again, yeah.
Yeah, see, Mata's cheap. I think he's 6.5 million, isn't he?
Yeah, it's not an option.
No. You don't think so?
Not for me. KDB starts for Man City. Sane has got the night off, and so has Aguero sub.
Mm.
Which is really interesting because obviously they don't play us till Monday. Otamendi gets a rare start. David Silva plays again. Bernardo sub, Sane sub. They're always going to rotate. Kyle Walker's only sub.
Interesting.
Yeah.
There we go. That's wrapped up game week 9.
Little late update. By the time you listen to this, you'll know the fucking scores. And well, probably Aguero's night off injured.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
I don't care if he gets injured this week. I'd rather not play against him Monday night.
And that's that.
Nice work, mate. See you Thursday.
Thank fuck that's over. Any week after we lose to your lot, I'm glad the podcast is done.
Wah.
I think in future, the weeks where we play each other, we should just not bother.
Oh, next week you'll be stinking. You'll
fucking solo.
I'm not making excuses. I don't really give a fuck. You'll beat us next week, mate. So cheer up.
Yeah, get your defense in before.
But if you don't,
well, let's see what teams.
Mate, we're gonna have fucking Llorente up front. Sissoko was our best player at the weekend.
Well, I don't know if I'd say that. I don't think Sissoko was. But anyway, wrapping up episode 22 of season 2 of Planet Hashtag FPL. I hope we didn't bore you too much with our West Ham Tottenham nonsense. It'll only happen 3 times a year. I was going to say twice, but we're playing each other in the cup as well. And do like and share the podcast with any people that you do know that play FPL, or the more listeners we get, the happier we are. We'll be back on Thursday with a preview of game week 10. I'm going to be running down through a mini watch list that I'm going to be putting together. We're going to be looking at budget midfielders, as well as all of the other questions that were asked on Twitter that we didn't get to this time
around.
I
want a quick look at early season ownership as well, something I got.
Early season ownership.
Yeah.
I'll make a note down on nothing. There we go.
All right, thanks.
Other than that, anything else to add?
Good night. Good luck. See you Thursday.
Ciao for now.
Cue music, man, child. And actually fucking cue it this time, you prick. Suck it, loser!
The Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.